You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. If you would like more information or would like to connect with the show, check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Here's the Deal podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. We're so thankful you guys are joining us today. I am joined, like always, by my friend and neighbor and co-host and tennis partner, Luke Chris. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. A little sore, not going to lie.
We played a lot of tennis.
A lot of tennis in the last week. More in the last week than I've probably ever
played. More in the last 24 hours than I've played in 5 years. I lost a lot.
My favorite thing that happened was a few days ago, we walked up to the courts and Brooke, what's her name?
Henson.
Brooke Henson was playing tennis and Dom walked past her and said, "Hey, Brooke, how's it going?" And she looked at him and with the most just confused tone said, "You play tennis?"
Yeah, so she basically looked at me like someone who is known for not bathing, no. walking into the aisle that has the Bath and Body Works soap in it, and looked at me like I should not be there. Something was wrong. I should not be there, and that was. It's always good to have encouragement while you're walking around trying to just do a little bit better. Well, today on today's podcast, we are so grateful. Today to have a buddy of mine, a guy who I've seen kind of grow up just a little bit in the short time in the ministry and is doing a great job. He is actually the college pastor at The View, which is the college ministry of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. We are so excited to have Daniel Harris with us. Daniel, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me with y'all, man. I'm pumped to hang out with y'all for a little bit today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Daniel has a special connection to our church. He is actually the son-in-law of our pastor here at Enon. And so he is obligated to come talk to us because his father-in-law.
Y'all call him pastor. I call him dad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so
I call him that sometimes. Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, he doesn't like it.
It's weird and stuff. Dad, please. We're grateful to have you. And so, Daniel, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your journey in The View? I think you have a really interesting story of how you went from going in The View and now you're the pastor of You. What was the journey like there?
Absolutely. The journey for me has been a long one, like for most of us. It's been a long journey for me. I was born and raised here in Memphis, and I never knew about Bellevue Baptist Church, though, when I was growing up. I never knew about The View. I never knew anything about Adrian Rogers, which everybody knows about Adrian Rogers.
Yeah.
I grew up 12 minutes from Bellevue, never knew anything about Adrian Rogers. Didn't have a clue. That's crazy for a lot of people when I tell them that. 12 minutes from the church. But I grew up in Memphis, and in high school, I was lost. I didn't know Jesus Christ, and my life reflected that because I was living in darkness, and I was living in sin. And like all of us, when we're lost, I struggled with depression. I struggled with anxiety. I struggled with a number of things when I was lost. And when I got to college, I really decided I was coaching basketball at a high school level, and I started wanting to adopt leadership values. You know, I wanted to be kind. I wanted to be wise. I wanted to adopt those values. So the first place I thought to go was the church, because I knew that the church had those values and they taught those values. But for me, I hated Christianity. I hated the idea of religion. And, you know, I had seen a lot of hypocrisy as a kid when I would go to church. And so I really didn't like it. But I started going to Bellevue to try to adopt the Christian values without taking on the Christian faith. That was my goal, to literally sit in the service and just take notes and figure out how to develop my character. And then over the course of a year, sitting in church, I realized I can't take on those values because none of those values are in me anyway. I need the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can live it out.
That's good.
And finally got to a point where I got saved. And when I got saved, I decided to try out The View for the first time. And I walked in the door of the college ministry. I was 21 years old, and I was scared to death to go inside the door. Dominic, I told you the story before, I think. I was the college student that drove back and forth past The View front door 8 times. And I drove back and forth. I kept driving back and forth because I couldn't tell if anybody was inside by the help desk. And I was scared to walk in and be alone. And I thought, man, if I could just, you know for sure that there's somebody behind the help desk, then when I walk in, I'll be greeted and I won't have to stand alone. You know, the tiniest things. And finally, I built up the courage to walk inside. And The View is how God changed my life as a college student. I started reading God's word. I started praying. I started taking on spiritual disciplines in my life. I got discipled. I got poured into. I got taught. And then I came on as a intern, which is the time I met my wife, Hannah. And we started as interns. And from there, I took on a full-time position. And then about 10 months ago, I got called to be the pastor of the ministry. So it's an amazing story of God's grace in my life that I'm able to share with our students. There's a lot more to it than just that, but that's like the quick version of how I got to be the pastor.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, as the college pastor there, what's kind of your reach? Like, where are you guys at? Like, what campuses? What are you guys doing? You guys got a weekly gathering, like, without COVID-19? Like, what do you normally do?
So what we normally do, which is what we're all hoping to get back to at some point, we do a weekly service every week on Mondays. And that's what The View really is. It's a weekly time where we come together, we preach biblical truth in a way that's culturally relevant to the age group we're speaking to. We have, from there, we have worship. And those are our two core things during our service is worship and preaching, and prayer. And then the other one that's huge for us in our service is community. So we have this time carved out every Monday night after our service. Well, students will stay in our building from 8:30 to 10 p.m. and just conversate about the sermon or about their life or just hang out and play cornhole. And for us, we've seen a lot of community come from that. That's awesome. Our service. From there, we have three college campuses we go to every week. Me and my staff, we split up to do campus ministry so we can get out there and share Jesus on the college campuses. So we go to University of Memphis. Obviously, that's our main school that we're at. Go Tigers. And we also are at a private school here called CBU, Christian Brothers University. And then we're also at a community college, Southwest. And we go to these three schools every Monday, and we try to share Jesus. We take our students with us. We try to get in gospel conversations. We try to not just be a billboard for The View, but to be a conversation for Christ. You know, that's really our goal is we don't just want to, hey, come to The View, come to The View. We want them there. But the goal is to have a gospel conversation right there on campus because that's where our students are going to have those gospel conversations anyway.
Yeah.
And so those are two huge things for us. Outside of that, we try to do a lot of ministry development where we have students who are on different leadership teams. And we meet with those teams throughout the week where we get to encourage them and we get to exhort them and we get to build them up. And so that's some of the things that we're doing right now here in Memphis. And we've been able to see a lot of fruit from it.
That's good, man. You said you've been the pastor for 10 months of The View?
Almost 10 months. I started back in September.
I got you. So about seven of those have looked relatively normal? I'm curious to know the last 3 months, like during this quarantine time, how has your ministry looked? How's it changed through that?
Man, there have been some changes for us. It's been cool because not everything has changed for us because we are very grounded in, we don't do a lot of extra events. We don't do a lot of extra things on the calendar because we want to teach our students the importance of weekly worship, weekly discipleship, those weekly things you do. So for us, it wasn't like, oh, we can't do all these events. What are we going to do? For us, we just lost a little bit of that face time with our students we love. We lost the ability to go and do campus ministry. We lost that, which hurts. A lot of the upsides of that is we've been able to see a lot of fruit come from Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people were, oh, we're all doing Zoom, but and we all don't really like Zoom. Like, we put up with it, but we don't necessarily like Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's great about it is we've been able to equip our students to learn how to teach the Word. During quarantine, I really got convicted that I was teaching our students the Word, but I was never teaching them how to teach the Word. And I was like, man, that's what they're in college for. You know, they need to learn how to teach the Word. They're learning how to teach all these other things in their career, but they get past college and they've never taught the Word without being handed a packet. You know, like, just teach this and you're good. Yeah. And so we've been trying to train them to craft a lesson from scratch on the Bible through commentaries that they get help from. But all of it starts with their prayer, their meditation, their interpretation, and then they get to teach it to our other leaders. That's been different during this time, but it's been very fruitful for us to be able to see training happening. But it is wild times, man. It's wild times doing everything over the internet. We stream our service, and we had 2 weeks ago, we had a girl get saved through our live stream.
That's awesome, man.
That's great.
Praise God, man, which was awesome to see that still God can save through a camera, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's been different, but we've still been able to see fruit from it, just a different kind of fruit.
Yeah, I think a lot of fruit has come from this. I just think people, now that we're stuck at home in a lot of ways and stuck in ourselves, a lot of people are seeking. A lot of people are searching. And for your college students specifically, maybe some new needs have arisen or the needs have shifted maybe So what are the new needs, or have the needs changed for your students, and how have y'all been, you know, meeting those?
You know, I think our students realized during the quarantine that many of them were busying their lives up with things that weren't being put on their plate by the Lord. Mm. You know, like we add a lot of things to our plate that aren't necessarily from God. Like we add a lot of commitments that we haven't prayed over. We make a lot of decisions we haven't prayed over, and we busy our lives up. And I do the same. I'm in the same boat. But I've had a lot of conversations with college students who have just said how rich the quarantine has been for their soul to step back and see how much they really need prayer, how much they really need Bible reading. You know, you don't know how good something is until you experience its goodness. Yeah. And for our college students, some of them have never spent an hour deep in the Word. It's always been 15 minutes, go to class, 15 minutes, go to work, 15 minutes, go see my friends. Well, now during the quarantine, when they've been able to slow down and stop, they have almost become more aware of their own need and dependency for rich time with God. So for us, we've been trying to exhort. We've been trying to encourage. We've been trying to push that they would not miss what God has for them during this time. I think the hardest part about ministry is when you want it for someone who doesn't want it for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of college students that just don't want it for themselves. And so we can push and push and push all we want, but if they don't want to spend time with God and they don't want to use this time to grow, then, you know, there's not much we can do for them outside of prayer and continual support. But we've really been trying to meet their needs through that way of exhorting them to be with God and then providing avenues over Zoom where they can still get connected with college students. What they did on their own, one thing that our college students took initiative on was doing a weekly Zoom without our staff in it that was just college students so that they can check in with each other and hold each other accountable. And when they started doing that, it was cool because they saw a need and they chose to meet a need.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just us seeing a need and meeting it for them, but they saw it and then they met it. So that's been really cool during this time too.
That's awesome. You know what? You know, I've had the privilege of being able to hang out at The View and go see and be around, see you guys on campus. And you guys are a machine handing out chapstick like nobody's business. You got everything branded, jars of air, just branded The View. And so, you guys have a great thing there and a great operation. You guys are loving people on campus. And one of the things that I see, and I think this conversation right here is as timely as any. Because especially in Memphis, and we're right outside of Birmingham, and if you're listening to this, we are just a few days out from George Floyd being murdered on television and on the internet live for everybody to see, and riots have broken out. We are right now under a curfew. Our whole entire county is under a curfew. We got to be in it at 7. Are you guys under a curfew yet?
We are. We have a 10 o'clock curfew in Memphis right now.
In Memphis, they have 10 o'clock. In Morris, Alabama, we are at 7 o'clock. Okay, anyway, so, and so we have goats everywhere. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I just don't feel like there's going to be riots unless the goats and the chickens rise up. So, I think one of the things is that when I went to The View, it wasn't just white people, right? It wasn't just black people. It was all different races, all different ethnicities from all over the world. Like, you're a global brand, okay? You guys had people from all over the place. And I think that is a beautiful glimpse of what our hopes are. And I think a really beautiful beautiful glimpse of what heaven will be like. I think heaven looks a whole lot more like your college gathering than it probably does us in rural Alabama gathering look like. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to ask is, how have you seen in your time there, from the very beginning of your time there to even now as you're leading The View, how have you seen The View be a vehicle for racial reconciliation there in Memphis?
Absolutely. It has grown a lot since me and the guy who I worked with before, when we got here and we started doing ministry. It's changed a lot seeing the growth of people from all different kind of backgrounds and walks with the Lord and different cultures. You know, one big thing that really helped for us to be a vehicle for change and racial reconciliation is equipping college students of different races to lead in our ministry. You know, it was just that, just being brutally honest, but if we have a team made up of all white people, you know, then we are in a sense limited as to who we can reach.
Yeah.
And so it was at the point where we want to reach not just college students of different races to put them in the chairs. We want to equip them as leaders too. You know, those people are God's leaders as well. Like, you know, all people can lead and step into a leadership position. And when we started really pursuing all people, regardless of skin color, we don't pursue them just because they are a color, and we won't pursue them just because they aren't a color. Pursuing all people with the chance to lead in our ministry, then we really started to see a change happen in Memphis. Because it shows that not just white people are leaders in a church. It can be any races that are leaders in the same church. You know, it's sad. I was listening to another podcast, and a buddy of mine said that Sundays are still the most segregated day of the week. You know, and that's so sad when you think about it, because the church itself should be the most diverse day of the week. Yeah, we should look like heaven. And we have a long ways to go at The View, but equipping leaders of all backgrounds and cultures, not just to be seen, but to be heard. You know, when we equip leaders of different cultures to be on our ministry teams, it helps me because I'm a white man and I don't always think from other people's perspectives who are not white. Mm-hmm. So when I put myself around college students of different backgrounds and races and cultures and social statuses, everything, I mean, not just race, but social statuses, some that come from great homes and some who have broken homes, they give me a perspective of how to reach college students in Memphis in a better and more Christ-like way. And so when we really started to have a heart to equip all students, no matter what, we really started to see The View become a vehicle that could change here in Memphis.
And man, that's awesome. And I love, you know, one of my things is that I love what you guys have been doing. Really, you guys said, and I've seen this all over your stuff, that it's really gospel reconciliation that I believe is helping to pierce through the racial reconciliation and the socioeconomic reconciliation, like all of that. It's been through the gospel. I want you to just share, if you can, how have you seen maybe gospel outbreak in, I say that outbreak is with pandemic is probably not the best, but like gospel outbreaks, because you're seeing people saved, you're seeing people come out. How have you seen the gospel unite people specifically? So you're bringing them onto your leadership staff, but how are you seeing the gospel in your, in The View, in your ministry, bring people together?
Yeah, I think it's just a real and a raw fire for Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
You know, it's a real raw fire that, like, desperately wants to chase after and pursue all people. You know, when I prayed for that and I wanted that in my heart, well, I started to impact the people around me and they started to have it. And people above me had a fire for Jesus that I took from them. And so I've been impacted and I've been able to impact others. But when that fire starts for Jesus in one or two people, it spreads. Yeah. And it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. And so we had a core group of college students who were desperate to reach people of all backgrounds on college campuses. And so we got out there. And I think one of the biggest parts of our ministry that we do in regular, normal, non-quarantine life is campus ministry. We go out there with those View chapsticks and those fruit roll-ups. And man, we chase after people. We pursue after people. I mean, we don't, you know, it's not getting all up in their face and stuff, but we chase after them with love. And it doesn't matter what they look like or where they come from or anything like that. Like, we chase after them and we want them to know that Christ loves them and that they're welcome at The View. You know, a sermon series that we did that I think had a big impact on our culture back in the fall was a sermon series called You Belong Here. And it's a very trendy phrase, but we really tried to make it a sermon series and to actually go in depth with what that means. And when we did that, we really saw a lot of our students from all different backgrounds buy into the idea that all people are worth pursuing. And why do we know that? Because Jesus pursued all people. He pursued and corrected the Pharisees when they needed it. He pursued and gave confidence to the weak. He pursued the oppressed. He pursued those who didn't have a voice. And so for us, when we really tried to model it the way Jesus would have done it, that's when we started to see salvations and growth and discipleship taking place and all those different kind of things. It had to be birthed from a deep fire for a relationship with Christ, not a religion with Christ, though.
Yeah, that's good. Man, I love what you said earlier, Daniel, in your personal testimony and your story of how you came to The View. You said you originally started going to church because you wanted the leadership values that the church offered, the kindness, just any good moral values that the church offers. And I think we're seeing a lot of that in the realm of racial reconciliation, that people are wanting the kingdom values, but they want it void of devotion and following the King. So I just take away The View, take away everything. Your personal encouragement What do you think your personal encouragement would be for a biblical view? When I say biblical, I mean kingdom values incorporated with a love and devotion and following of the king. Your biblical encouragement for racial reconciliation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we do have a lot of that happening. People are trying to find answers to sin apart from Jesus, and we can't find those answers. You know, racism is sin, and we have to find the answer to cure racism, but the answer can't be found apart from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so that's why any time that I use my voice, and I'm trying to use my voice as often as I can as a white man for racial reconciliation, I'm wanting to use it on social media, but not just social media where everybody sees it. I'm trying to use my voice in individual conversations as well for racial reconciliation. Because I think it's one thing to post on social media, but when you start having those conversations in your home and with your friends, I think that's a whole other thing that makes a change.
Yeah.
But what I would say, you know, what I would say to that is I instantly, no matter what, think of Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning God created, he created man and woman in his own image. He created us in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's not dependent on race. You know, how sad is it that we split up God's creation and give more value to one color and less value to another color? You know, how sad is it that what God used to show his uniqueness in our color, we have used to devalue human beings. Mm-hmm. And so the very first thing is that if all men and women have been created in the image of God, then we all have value.
Yeah.
And we are all created in love. And that doesn't is not based on our skin color. And then obviously, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
What Jesus prayed for us in John 17 for unity, that we would be one. All through Scripture, there is nothing that will support racism in Scripture. Everything in Scripture goes against racism. And when you look at it, you see that Christ died for all people. He pursued all people. And that's what we have to do. Practically, that means conversations in truth and in love. We have to be willing to talk in love about the truth. We can't sacrifice either one of them. And we have to be willing to stand up for people when they're hurting. I think that the African-American population in America is hurting right now. And we need to be listening, and we need to be learning, and we need to be loving. And I think that that's a huge way we can make a change in conversations that I've had with people. I think if we're willing to listen, to learn, to love, and then what we do take, what we do learn, if we're willing to put it into action and use what we have for change, I think that we can see change in America. But it can't happen without Jesus. And that's the toughest part of the whole thing, is there's many people that want change, but they're not going to Jesus. It's not going to be a change to look more like heaven. It's only going the opposite direction. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, for sure, man. If there's one thing, you saying that, if there's one thing that we can see from God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament is, man, he has a heart for the oppressed and the needy. Mm-hmm. So one, I think, man, and also he is the suffering servant. So one, on the one side, what better way do people look like Jesus when they're suffering? And two, what better way can we look like Jesus if our heart cares for those who are oppressed? Mm-hmm. So I just love that, man. That was a great encouragement.
Yeah. And we love that, man. And that's kind of what we need. The hard thing is that we want to be a voice. We don't want to just talk at people. We want to listen. And I think that's one of the great things that you're talking about, especially in this time. If we're gonna see gospel reconciliation that leads to racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic reconciliation, it is only through Christ that we bring all this back together. And so I love the work that you guys are doing there in Memphis, and so grateful for your ministry there. And so, man, we are grateful. Man, we're grateful for you being a part of the podcast. Man, we're grateful for you sharing, and we hope that people listen to this and are encouraged by this. And so, Daniel, man, we appreciate
it. Grateful to be
thank you, Daniel.
I was grateful for y'all and your ministry. Thank you for having me on with y'all, and just grateful for everything that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Daniel, man. We appreciate it. We are so grateful for you joining us and being a part, and so thankful for the ministry that you have there in Memphis. And if you're listening to this and you're a college student, If you're a college student, you can affect change. Use your voice for the advancement of the gospel and to fight against injustice. And you can do that. And you can be a tool, an avenue, a vehicle of racial reconciliation, but even more importantly than that, spiritual reconciliation. And so we are so grateful for you guys, thankful for what you do and just your listening to this podcast. Share it. Like it, subscribe to it, and be on the lookout because we've got a great study through the book of Mark that Luke and I are going to be doing here in the coming day. So you need to subscribe so that you get all the updates. We love you guys. We're thankful for you. Thank you for listening to the Here's the Deal podcast.